What a way to end. Just the worship bit. We're now going to listen to God's word, which is so important. And the Spirit of God will come upon you. And you will be transformed. And you will be changed. And the Spirit of God will fall upon you. Fathers, we come to probably the last talk on the Holy Spirit, apart from the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which we may consider, Father. We pray, Father, as we come to the end of this probably series, that this word that you have read this morning will be real to most of us. And the Spirit of God will fall upon us and we will be transformed. And we will know how to live in the Holy Spirit. Father, that's our design this morning for these next few moments, is to live in the Holy Spirit and to find out how we can do it, not on a Sunday morning, but throughout the rest of the week. Father, would you take us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, film crew was on a location in the desert. And one day an old Indian went up to the director and said, "Tomorrow it's going to rain." And the film camera chap said, "Oh, thank you." And the next day it did. And he went back the following day and he said, "It's going to be very, very windy, mind you, when you're shooting today." And the film director said, "Again, thank you very much." And he said to his co-director, "This Indian guy's incredible. You know, he's telling us exactly what the weather's going to be like for when we are to try and film this movie." However, he didn't appear for about a week, and the film director was getting a bit anxious because he wanted the film, obviously, finish him. So he said, "Go and get the Indian guy." And they managed to find the Indian guy. He says, "It's been a week since you've come and told me about the weather." He said, "I'm depending on you." He said, "What's the weather going to be like tomorrow?" And the Indian shrugged his shoulders. He says, "I don't know." He says, "Well, what do you mean you don't know?" He says, "Well, my radio was broken." But wouldn't you like to have the ability, not to seek the future in that sense, but to know the Holy Spirit and transformation of God so that you know how to live your life, that when you wake up in the morning, you know that Holy Spirit and the sense of God leading you, guiding you, directing you, giving you words, giving you visions, giving you that enhancement that God so long wants to give us. I don't know about you, but I would like to be transformed. I'm not the person I used to be, but I'm nowhere near the person that I should be. I know that I need something just to transform me so that I can be more like Christ. And I have it both. Because what I need for transformation is God's Word and God's Holy Spirit. But the two must come together. The Holy Spirit and the Bible together are the essential ingredients for me to enable transformation. For instance, that is a very useful piece of gear. It's a lock. But that lock is totally useless without a... I'll give you another illustration. Some of you women won't understand what this is, but this is a can opener, ladies. And you know, that tin is a lovely tin of beans. Yes. But what do I need to get open this tin of beans? Mr. Minister. Oh, these ladies are trying to tell me now. They're giving me some... I bind them. I need a can opener, don't I? No, all right, Lisa's got it. She said, "Why don't you turn it round? Because it's got it." I was trying to show the illustration. But yes, nowadays, of course, boys and girls, you don't need this, do you? But I tell you something. I get my thumb caught in these, and I can only get it halfway through before some... And I've got to get a spoon in and try and rip that. I'm not going to... Should I... No, I won't. No, I won't. But what I'm saying is, oh, it has opened a bit. Well, I won't. I won't tip it up. But anyway, what I'm saying is that tin of beans, as great as it is totally useless if this wasn't on without a key. I expected my wife to bring one without a pull ring in, but obviously we mustn't have one. Seriously, the Word of God is totally, totally no good to us without the Holy Spirit. God's Word's just a book. I can read it all day, and it won't enhance my life. And let me say that seriously. I can read the Bible every single day of my life, but unless I know through the enhancement of the Holy Spirit that I'm reading a book. You see, it is the Holy Spirit which illuminates God's precious Word. As a child, I could read. How often have you read the Bible and suddenly something hit you and you've read that passage over and over and over and over again and suddenly you wake up one morning and think, wow, I never saw that before. Because the Holy Spirit has illuminated His Word and He set you free, because that's what truth does. I can remember reading Exodus, the story of the Passover. I knew that story inside out and outside in. And I came home from work. At once upon a time, I used to go to work at 10 o'clock at night and get home 6 o'clock in the morning. I hated that shift, but I used to have to do it. And I used to get home at 6:30 in the morning, have a cup of coffee. But I would want to read my Bible before I go to bed, even though I was tired and probably wasn't the greatest time to read it. And I read the Passover story again. And you know, God illuminated me about 20 to 7 that morning into some truths about the Passover that's lasted through all the rest of my life. And I'd read that Passover story through and through and through. It is because the work of the Holy Spirit had illuminated that Word. I'm going to show you something now. I'm going to see if I can find it at the back. So I want you to understand what the Holy Spirit does. I believe God wants to speak to us this morning about this expressible love that God has for us. God hears the hard cry of desperate people, no matter where they are. I want to tell you, Billy Graham says this, God loves you, and He loves you with a love that you don't even know anything about, because there's no human love compared to the divine love of God. God loves you and God has a plan for your life. And the secret is, those people were desperate. They had their lock on their life that they knew they wanted to be set free. Each one of those testimonies you've just heard there today is true. They didn't know about the Word of God. They just desperately knew they wanted their lives transformed. And the moment they decided that they would go to God, God would hear them. God would unlock. God would unlock and transform their lives and set them free. Because God loves you with a love that is divine and that's not human. But you cannot experience that divine love in yourselves. You need something to enable you to have that divine love. And God calls it the Holy Spirit. We need to understand how we need, as we end this series, how we need this Holy Spirit. And I keep banging on and banging on. But we do. We can know human love, but we can never know that divine love of God. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 3. I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly in love, that you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus this extravagant dimensional of Christ's love. That divine love which enables me to reach out and experience the breadth and the love of God. That not only will I experience it on a daily basis, but I will be able to test its length. That when crises in my life come, I will know one thing only, that God loves me. God loves me, no matter the situation I'm in, no matter how desperate the situation is, I will know for one thing, God loves me. It only happens when that immeasurable power of a divine love through the Holy Spirit can have a channel to enter your life. We need both the Word of God. We talked about it last week, taking the Word of God as fact, not feelings. Do you remember? We spoke on it last week. You need to take God's Word as fact, but then you need to have the enablement of the Holy Spirit to illuminate that Word of God. Do you know when life is hitting you smack in the face, which it does? Do you know the length of God's love? Do you know you can't measure the length of God's love? Have you tested His love when you plumb to the depths of despair, as David did? He knew the love of God. Read the Psalms. The Psalms are full of a young man who was in the depths of despair. But he said, "You took me out of the miry clay and you set my feet upon a rock." David knew what it was like to be hounded, to be chased by a big army, to have a king following you daily to kill you. David could identify what our brothers and sisters in Iraq are having this morning, hunted down to be killed by the Islamic terrorists. You see, in Iraq this morning, they will know that length of God's love. They've been plumbed into the depths of despair. Not only them, but many upon a mountainside. And God is saying, "I want you to know that you can know the divine empowerment of God's love. That love that is not human, but is divine. That will enable you in all your circumstances to know that power of God's amazing love." While I'm talking about this, by the way, we've asked you to raise money to help our brothers and sisters in Iraq. I want to stand here and just say thank you. This church has abundantly shown to God this week and last week how much you care for His people. You raised over £700. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful £700 raised that's going to go to our brothers and sisters in Iraq. You have shown that human love, that immeasurable love. But I believe it wasn't just a human love that made you do that. It was God's divine power love that reached out to our brothers and sisters this morning. I want to just applaud you as your pastor of this church and say thank you very, very, very much. But I promised you that we would, as a church, we've no money. And we want to bring someone on board, and I'll keep saying it every week, and I will keep saying it every week, because I'm trusting that God is going to have increase our finances. But I told you that our finances are dire, but I promised you that this church would also tribute to the money that you people have raised. And Rob spoke to me Friday night or Saturday morning, I can't remember which, probably Friday night. And he said, £750 has been raised by our people, Pastor. I believe that even though we have not got the finance, I believe that we should show God how much we care for our brothers and sisters. I believe we should give £250 out of the little bit money we've got left to round it up to £1,000. And that's what we are going to do, brothers and sisters. And we're going to send to headquarters tomorrow £1,000 to help our brothers and sisters in Iraq. £250 we could well do within the church. But you see, that comes a point that we have a Spirit of God inside us that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so I'm just delighted what you've raised. I'm going to tell everyone that I meet when I go to my pastor's regional meeting. Not to boast on what we've done, but to say I've got the heart of the people that I have here. I believe you do that when we enable that divine love of God. Do you know that God's divine love wants to rise you to the highest point in your Christian life? Do you know that you think life's good now? God is saying, "I've got so much more for you." Do you know that God loves you so much this morning, that God's love and God's grace over you this morning, that He wants to bless you and He wants to raise you to the highest of heights in His love? We sang, "How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. But do we know the love of God? Because if we know the love of God, we can only respond by loving Him back. I'm serious. You love someone, you're going to love them. Love has never been a one-way dimensional thing, has it? Love has always been a two-way dimensional. If you love God this morning, you want to worship Him, you want to praise Him, you want to give Him, and you've already shown us how much you need in giving when this tremendous offering you have done. I want you to reach out. You see, Jesus said this, the Spirit of what has come upon me? The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. And Samuel said to Saul, the Spirit of the Lord's going to come upon you in power and you will be changed into a different person. I want to tell you, we need to be changed. Transformation needs to come in our lives. Because I believe as a church, we need to do so much more. We can only do it when we're all on board, when we're all engaging in God's ministry. There's a talent in this church right sitting here now. All of you sitting in this church right now can contribute towards God's kingdom. Because every one of you who have asked Jesus into your lives have been born again of the Spirit of God. Every one of you got gifts. Every one of you got talents. And if we will get together as a family and seek, I believe we can reach high pace for God. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord needs to come upon us. And when He does, He says, I'm coming in power. I'm coming in power. And I will change you. Those four people you saw in the video were so desperate for change. A young girl who would pick anything up just to scar her skin. She was so desperate. Life was nothing for her. It was meaningless. She knew nothing about the divine love of God. And yet she found it just by crying out to God this morning. I don't care where you are this morning. God loves you. I don't care how desperate you are. God loves you. I know that if you come to God this morning, God will change, God will transform, because God has promised in His Word. It's a fact. It is not a feeling. It's a fact this morning. And God will change you. Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He has anointed me to bring good news to the people. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be free. You see, Jesus Christ was a human being, and Jesus Christ knew He needed the Holy Spirit of God. And let me tell you something, Jesus Christ was capable of sin. And if you don't believe that, why did the devil tempt Him? What was the point of the devil tempting Jesus if Jesus could not sin? Think about it. There's no point, is there? There's no point in the devil taking Jesus up to a wilderness and say, bow down and worship me, if Jesus was not capable of doing that. Jesus was hungry. And he said to him, go on, take these stones of bread. I know you can do it. You can change these stones into bread and you can eat. He knew Jesus through the Holy Spirit was capable. You see, we must understand that Jesus, although He was divine, came down from heaven and became a man. And Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to transform and to make His ministry the ministry what it was, but also to be with Him and guide Him. Jesus was capable of saying in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm not going to that cross, as Kay read in her prayer. God the Father could never have made Jesus go to the cross. It said, not my will, but thine be done. But as soon as he said it, the Bible says they had to send angels down to strengthen Jesus. But the Spirit of the Lord came and ministered to Jesus and strengthened him. You see, Jesus knew this verse. I know I'm going on, but I'm going back to it. Jesus knew this verse. Jesus knew that if he reached the depths of the depths, that the love of God, his Father, was there. He knew that his Father loved him. And God loves you the same way as God loved Jesus. There is no difference with God's love for us this morning. And God wants to transform our lives. God wants to change us. He wants us to reach out and know him this morning. And when Jesus did that momentous thing and he rose again from the dead, I want to tell you that the Bible says he still needed the Spirit of God and he had been resurrected. The Bible says that the Spirit said to Jesus. The Spirit said to Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, listen, I want to give you the same as I've got. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What, Peter? You've stood there and you've denied me. But I want to tell you, Peter, you're going to be one of the great men of God. You're hiding in an upper room here. But I want to tell you, many days you'll leave this upper room and you'll go out with boldness and you will tell the whole world about Jesus. What transformed the disciples into people who were hiding in an upper room to someone who said he never knew Jesus? What was it? Because God said, I'm going to give you an empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, He will transform your life. He will change you. He will change you. And the Apostle Peter stood some 40 days after Jesus had said those words to him. He stood in front of a group of Pharisees and Sadducees, the same people who crucified his Savior. He stood in front of them and they said, you will never again talk about Jesus. And Peter said, listen, I once upon a time would have run away, but I'm telling you right now today, I will not stop talking about Jesus. Because I know that God loves me. I know that the world needs to hear. And so they took Peter and they flogged him and they threw him into prison. But Peter still would not stop saying, I know that God loves me. I know that I sinned against God. I stood there and I blasphemed his holy name. But God forgave me. And I know the divine power of God's love. I wonder if your life has been totally transformed like that this morning. I wonder if we know. You see, our experience of salvation is based on three things, beginning with C. It's based on Christ. It's based on confession. And in the middle, it's based upon a cross. There's no way you're born again if you've never gone through these three steps. Your experience of salvation was like those four people. You may not have known the gospel even. But you cried out, if there's such a thing as God, will you come and change my life? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and transformed his life. And you believed that the day you came to know Christ. You came to a cross and you said, I need you into my heart. I need you to forgive me. And on your confession of faith, Jesus Christ has saved you. I want to ask you this question now. How real must be the messenger be if the message is so real? If you know in your life, Doreen, that God has transformed you, then how must the person who revealed that be real? It's a question. You believe that your life has been changed by God. You believe you've been born again. Well, who did it? That was the message you received, that God loves you. And that if you come to Jesus in faith, God will save you. That was the message. But the messenger who gave you that message, how real is it to you this morning? Because the same message. Yeah. What does it say? Not by my might. Not by my power, says the Lord of hosts. But by my... But I want you to say this. You've never read this verse. Well, you might have read this verse. But have you noticed that verse shouldn't finish there? That verse should go on to this verse next one. Who are you, O great mountain? You shall become a plain. God is saying that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, there's no mountain, there's nothing that will come against you that you can't level down. You won't knock it down with a bulldozer. You won't knock it down with a JCB. But there's nothing that can stand against you, that can affirm you when you know by your might the Spirit of a living God. Benny Hinn says this, I have come to one conclusion, is that the church and many people who come to the church are living defeated lives because they are ignorant of the powerful person who lives inside them. And the promise is that your mountains, whether that be a job, whether that be sickness, whether that can be anything, anything that stands before us, it is possible through the energizing power and working of the Holy Spirit to be level flat. There is no mountain that's set against you that cannot be leveled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friend, I want to encourage you. God loves you. I'm just going to keep saying it. God loves you. But God's interested in transformation in every one of our lives. So now that this church is so engaged with the Holy Spirit, I wanted to be brute with you this morning. What happened this morning will never take place. That week at 2011, when this guy strikes up, we will worship. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, we'll come into this place at 2011, and we want to worship Him because there's something inside us of the divine power and emblem of the Holy Spirit that will cry out, I want to come because I love you, Jesus, and I want to worship you. I want to worship you. You think that's difficult to take? Well, I'm sorry. But when love hits you and the power of the Holy Spirit hits you, the moment that chord is struck up, we'll want to just worship Him. I want to tell you something. If you went to heaven this morning, if I could transform you to heaven this morning right now, the first thing you'd see would be people at the throne of grace worshiping Jesus. In fact, I don't think you'd see anything else. That I can be aware of. There are angels flying around heaven doing nothing else but shouting, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb of God. We had a man for lunch. He was quite nice. Tasted quite nice, didn't he? But anyway, we had him for lunch. His name was Craig Marsh. You can put on the internet today. Just type Craig Marsh in. He's from New Zealand. They diagnosed him with no stomach and they diagnosed that he was going to die. And he wanted to go to a conference and the doctor said, the only reason I'll let you go is if you take a friend with you just in case, you know, you die there and you need to be shipped back. And he went and the Methodist minister on the conference said, I'm sorry, I can't preach today. I believe God is saying that He wants to heal someone. And he says, I believe it's someone with stomach problems. And Craig Marsh got up and he prayed over Craig Marsh and his stomach just started to enlarge. And Craig Marsh said, well, if this is real, God, I'm going to test it. I'm going out now for a curry. And he went out and had a curry. He went out and had to eat. And his stomach was completely healed. Sometime later, he wanted to see God and he was seeking God. And suddenly he felt ill and he was lying on a table in hospital and he went into heaven. And he could see down below, you know these things they... And he could... Even her. And they were hitting him. Now he could see that. But he was in the throne of grace. My wife said, hey, she'll verify it. He said, Edward, I saw colours that I'd never seen in my life. He said, I cannot explain them. He said, I heard music and instruments that I can't tell you, he said. All I know, he said, I've never been in a place which is so wonderful, which is so beautiful, he said, which was so holy, where people were worshipping and praising and singing songs. He said, I can't explain you, but he said, just give me more. And God said to him, I want you to go back down to earth, and I want you to tell the good news that God loves you. And that what you have seen right now is available to every human being on planet Earth. And he saw the people pumping his body, as I say. And he went back into his body. And he became a great healer. Not in local, even the national newspapers in New Zealand were printing about the miracles that God was doing. They could not deny the miracles that God was doing. You see, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it transformed his life. It changed him. I'm not saying that God wants to make us world famous or even famous. I'm saying God wants to transform your life this morning so that you will enjoy God. You will enjoy your family in a better way than you do now. And you will talk about the love of Jesus as natural as you breathe air because God has changed your life and has transformed your life. You know the empowerment of a divine love. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us as God, he's also sealed us and given us the Spirit of God in our hearts. So what have I got to do? We're now finished. We'll be less than 2 minutes now. Finally, be filled with the Spirit. That's what Ephesians 5:18 says. It says, listen. I want you, love, to be continually filled with the Spirit. I gave you my Holy Spirit the day you came to know Jesus, the cross, the confession. The day you asked Jesus into your heart, my Holy Spirit entered into you. But listen, I want you to continually be filled. Now, if He wants you to continually be filled, that means you must be able to get drained. Why use the word continually if it means that you, there is circumstances where I may not be continually filled? I want to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That means I want to be completely occupied and satisfied and controlled by God's Spirit. I want to tell you now, I want to hand my life over to the Holy Spirit and say, come, control my life. I'm not frightened to have someone else control my life. I've now got someone on a human level who does my diary. My phone keeps bleeping every so often and there's a date being put in my diary and it's good, it works out. I now know where I'm going and what I'm supposed to be doing. What I'm saying, it's great to have sometimes your life sorted out for you. I'm going away in a couple of weeks' time and my wife will pack for me. Everything will be controlled. I'll just be told to lift the suitcase up. That will probably be my only function in the whole of this thing. And I don't care. But oh, how I want God to control my life. See, I want to live a life I'm happy in. I want to live a life I'm satisfied. I want to live a life where I see people's lives being changed for Jesus. Because God loves them as He loves me. It will need, though, the person of the Holy Spirit of God. The reason that I might accomplish all God's plans. I want to, Doreen, and I hope you do too, get to heaven one day and God actually saying to you, well done. You've accomplished everything that I wanted you to accomplish. Wouldn't that be lovely? You see, when Jesus got to heaven, the Father had a throne for Him. He must have said, hey son, you accomplished everything that I wanted you to do on earth. And you know, it may not be major. In the sense that the whole world may never know what you do for Jesus. But it's major in the sense that when you get before the throne of grace and God says, well done. That'll be major. It requires obedience. But it results in a victory in the Christian life. Finally. That little guy there is the Holy Spirit guy, sorry. We need to read the Bible, as I said at the beginning of this talk. That's the key. But we need to read it by yielding ourselves in obedience to the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to give me life tomorrow morning when I read His Word. I want to be like that little chap at the front there. I want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. I want to be carried by the Holy Spirit tomorrow. Although it's Bank Holiday Monday. Do I get a day off tomorrow? No, Eunice is shaking her head. But she's right. No, I don't get a day off. I get a day off in the sense that, well, I might still work. But in the sense of most of us will have a day off when we're not going to work. But there's never a day off. We need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit day by day. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, direct you. I promise you, with all my heart, I promise you, your life will be different. Because Jesus says, I stand at the door and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Do you hear God's voice today when you read your word? I hope so. You see, God is holy and God is powerful. And He can change your life. I can know daily that divine love with both feet planted firmly in love. I can know and reach out and experience the love of God. I'm going to end. It's finally. So it is finally. You needed the Holy Spirit to open your eyes when you came to know Jesus. Then what makes you think that you can live your life now without Him? Can I be honest? If you really know that the Holy Spirit spoke into your life and convicted you of sin, and you became a born-again Christian because the Holy Spirit spoke into your life, what makes you think you can live the rest of your life without Him? I'm going back to what I said today. If the message that you heard, Kevin, as you pulled your car into that car park, when God spoke to you and you heard His voice and you pulled into that place where you pulled in, if that message was real and you gave your heart that moment to Jesus Christ, then I tell you that messenger that was sent to you is real. It's real. Not only was the message real, but the messenger is real. Because you could have heard that message, which is the Bible, Robbie. You could have heard that message. But if the messenger didn't reveal that God's word to you, you would still be in our sin. Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said this, listen, go and look at the Bible because you think you're saved, but you're on your way to a lost eternity. Yes, you say you know your Bible, but do you know something? You do know your Bible in the sense you can read it and recite it, but you don't know your Bible in the sense of what the power of the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you. And the Pharisee said, are you saying we're blind? And he said, yeah, you're worse than blind, because you think you know the truth, and you're binding other people too, and both you're leading on a road to destruction. I'm not being harsh this morning. I'm simply saying that can be a point in your life when you're reading God's word, but if God is not illuminating it through the Holy Spirit, if the message to Kevin was real that day he pulled his car over, then the messenger must be as real. And if he needed the messenger that day to change his life, what makes him think that he just needs the messenger now to continue his life? I'm sorry. I have finished the series on the Holy Spirit. As far as I'm concerned, I've come to the conclusion that I need the messenger as well as I need the message. It's over. The prayer is there. I'm not ashamed to say that I need that prayer. I need the messenger as well as I need the message. Because I believe the messenger is real. And I believe when Jesus said to me, the Spirit of the Lord, Edward, will come upon you, and I will transform your life. You will be changed. I believe that if I want to, I can be transformed. I can be changed. It's whether or not I want to engage in the series that we've been talking about. Thank you for so many people saying you want the notes on the Holy Spirit. You will be getting those notes now very shortly. Read them again if you're not sure. But I plead and I beg with you. As a church, we need to be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. As much as we need men in this church, we need the empowerment of our Holy Spirit. I plead with you for your own benefit, for your lives to be more exciting. I believe you need the messenger as well as you need the message. And I leave that scriptures with you.